Hi, this is Dan Lynch. Join me, Randall Schwartz, and Simon Phipps for a very special edition of Floss Weekly, where we'll be talking about an event that I happen to run called Og Camp. It's a two-day unconference set in the UK, and it's coming up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz, Dan Lynch and Simon Phipps. Episode 547, recorded Wednesday, 18th of September, 2019. Og Camp. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Melissa. Bad data happens to good companies. That's why 10,000 businesses count on Melissa for clean, reliable, addressed data. Get started today with 25,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. And also by Command Line Heroes, the original podcast from Red Hat. It's back for its third season, and this time it's all about the epic history of programming languages. Episode 7 considers the origins of AI and its very first language, Lisp. Go to redhat.com/heroes or listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free Libre open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at Stonehenge.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big players, the little players, and now I've completely forgotten what I normally do at the beginning of a show, because it's a special show. It's a special show. It's a show where I have a Dan Lynch and Simon Phipps who are going to be talking to me about Og Camp. Og Camp, that's going to be great. So let's just introduce both of them at the same time, because why the heck not? Dan, Simon, welcome back to the show.
It's lovely
to
be here.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
See, now you're going to be talking over each other. It's all good.
Oh,
it's
we
all
are
good.
All the time.
Yeah. I like the fact that we're both wearing hats that make us look a bit like you've got the Blues Brothers as guests this week.
Right, so, right.
We'd like to thank the members of the Illinois Police Department for joining us at this time on Floss Weekly.
So let's talk. Let's talk. What the heck is Og Camp? Let's start with Dan. Dan, what's Og Camp about?
So people who've listened to the show regularly will probably have heard me mention Og Camp quite a lot. It's an annual event in the UK, which I was one of the founders of, and this is our 10th year. So this one coming up will be our 10th birthday, which is amazing. So back in the midst of 2009, we started this event. It's a two-day event. It's a celebration of all things free and open source, and also collaboration and sharing, and we have things like free culture we try and celebrate as well, and Creative Commons and art and all that sort of stuff. And it's a general get together where people give talks. We have all kinds of great social stuff going on around it. We have lightning talks. We have all those kind of things. It's just an annual kind of open source kind of party, I suppose, would be the best way to describe it.
Okay, cool. And I haven't been there yet, but I really, really do want to go there at some point. It just, the timing hasn't worked out yet, and it's coming up really soon, right?
So, yeah, I mean, fortunately, you'd almost think we'd plan this, but fortunately, it's coming up in almost a month, almost exactly a month. So the 19th and 20th of October is the weekend, and it's in Manchester in the UK, which is in the northwest. Nice, easy transport links for people to get to us. I don't know. I mean, transatlantic, it's not too bad. Manchester Airport's pretty good. So we have got a few people coming from abroad, other parts of the world. We once had someone come from Australia, which was quite impressive for an Og Camp that we did years ago, which I was very impressed by. Definitely they made a big effort there. It's coming up in just over a month, and the tickets are available now. We'll talk about more about all that sort of stuff in a bit, but tickets are available now at ogcamp.org/tickets, which is nice and easy. Okay, let's take a quick break there while I tell you about our sponsor for today. Today's episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Melissa. Every address is covered, from Adelaide, Australia to Zipacada, Colombia, and everywhere in between. We all know there's nothing good about bad data. It costs money, hurts sales, and decreases customer satisfaction. If bad addresses, duplicate records, and bouncing emails are hurting your business, it's time to come clean with Melissa. Delta Faucet, Z1 Motorsports, and Car2Go use Melissa. You should too. Delta Faucet was able to improve their call center processes with global address auto-completion. Melissa was able to reduce the fraudulent e-commerce transactions for Z1 Motorsports by 90%. Melissa provides a full spectrum of data quality protection for your customer data. Verify postal addresses, mobile numbers, and email addresses. Update the addresses of customers that have moved and eliminate duplicate records. Gain additional customer insight into your data with Melissa's analytics. Easily build address verification and customer data validation into your custom application using Melissa's APIs, CRM cloud connectors, and e-commerce plugins, or upload your customer file for a quick data cleanse. Melissa is serious about securely managing your data. They continually undergo independent security audits to reinforce their commitment to data security, privacy, and compliance requirements. SOC2, HIPAA, and GDPR compliant. Mailers spend about $20 billion annually in undeliverable mail. Don't lose customers or cash. Make every address count. Bad data happens to good companies. That's why 10,000 organizations worldwide trust Melissa to get their customer data clean and accurate. Get started today with 25,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. That's melissa.com/twit. Or call 1-800-MELISSA to find out more. And we thank Melissa for their support of Floss Weekly.
So let's go back to our show. And we've got both Dan and Simon on the show. Dan, Simon, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be back. I'm speaking to you here from the wonderful sunny holiday destination of Cowes on the Isle of Wight in the UK. So this is, could be your the first show from Cowes. I don't know.
Cows, like cows?
As like in cow? Cows, yes. Yeah, as in cow.
Okay, it's, like
it's
a cow.
Great name for a town. It does have a history, but that's for another show.
Awesome. So talk to me about, what happens at Og Camp?
So I describe Og Camp as the premier free culture unconference in the UK. And that kind of gives you a hint what happens. We've had a call for papers open for a while. It's, I think it's still open at the moment. If anyone would like to submit a talk. Dan, did I go wrong?
Sorry, I nearly interrupted there. The call for papers is not open anymore. Sorry.
Is it? It's closed. No. What do I know? I'm just the treasurer, so I don't.
No,
really
I just
know
thought I'd better warn you in case some people write in and I couldn't get in.
Yeah, but fortunately, it's an unconference, so we'll put together a basic main stage with some great talks, so that people know what they're coming for, and then we hope that as many as possible of our 300 plus attendees will come with a talk that they want to present. And those talks will be on a wide range of subjects. There'll be obvious open source projects. They will be free culture activities where people are making music or talking about publishing books. There will be people who are talking about projects they have built that they've implemented. There'll be a whole wide range of these things. And then that's in the context of an exhibit area that's got tables for various open source, open hardware, free culture projects. We've got representatives of organizations like the Open Rights Group coming along to come and also take one of those tables. And then it's a sandwich of nutritious filling in between slices of entertainment in the evening. So there's great parties on the Friday night and the Saturday night that people can come to. And if people are still ticking over come Sunday night, there's an event that evening as well. So think of it as an all-weekend free culture party that everyone can join in with all the way through the event. The other thing that's really significant is that we have pay-what-you-want ticketing. So the ticket price is theoretically £15, but if you can't afford that, or indeed if you want to give us much more than that, you can just go to ogcamp.org/tickets and put in any ticket price and get yourself a ticket. If you're quick, there's only 66 tickets left.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so the point of this, I think you mentioned unconference like once or twice, but I don't know if people understand what that actually is. It's a conference where it sort of evolves because of people who show up and put their name into a hat or whatever and essentially create the conference as a part of that. So as opposed to, say, a conference where, everybody has got proposals and they put proposals in and they get accepted or not and things like that. So can you describe a bit more about what an unconference is like?
Yeah, I describe it as a hybrid bar camp. Seeing as we're on Floss Weekly, we can get technical about this.
Sure.
We may as well get some.
Sure.
I want to get some jargon in there. I'm worried that people will be low on their jargon this week, or acronyms or whatever. It's what I describe as a hybrid bar camp, because we cheat, basically. So a bar camp, or an unconference, as you say, is an event where the attendees come along, and usually there's a board on the wall where you have all your tracks and stuff, and people can often take something like a post-it note and write on it what they'd like to talk about, and then stick it on the wall. And the schedule is kind of it's alive, if you like. It kind of generates itself almost. And we have got some people who are doing the scheduling as well for us. So people will pitch talks, and then we've got a little scheduling team who work out the best room for it to go in, and they sort out a time with the speaker and so on, which is great, because that makes it really nice for people that they can come along. And we always get things that you wouldn't expect. Some of the best examples I've seen were the very first year we did it in 2009. There was a lady who came along and pitched a talk about drawing pigs, which sounds mad, but let me explain it. So drawing like cartoons of pigs, right? And she got everybody in the room to draw on with a marker pen a cartoon of a pig. And then what it turned out, it was some kind of psychological thing where you can analyze people's personality by how they've drawn the pig. And it was to do with things like how curly the tail is. Apparently it signifies how confident you can be and stuff like that. But that was, it was really interesting. It's the sort of thing that I would never have thought to book for a conference, let's be honest. Think many people were surprised. But the hybrid element is that we have a scheduled track as well. So what we found was that we'd like to have a few kind of fixed talks in on the main stage, keynotes, if you want to call them that, on the main stage. And people like to see at least something about what they're going to find when they come to the event. So we have that, but we also have then another three rooms where people can do their own thing as well. And then there's the exhibition, and there's a kids room this year. There's loads of stuff going on.
Cool. So there's a lot of things going on. What's sort of the context of everything? Why are people getting together for this?
It's a good question. I mean, so if we go back in the kind of mists of time a little bit to how the event began originally, we back in 2009, we took over from an existing event. So there was an event called Lug Radio Live, which was to do with the Lug Radio podcast, which John O'Bacon, who formerly of this parish, many people will know.
Yes.
He was one of the hosts of Lug Radio, and they used to run an annual event in the UK for 4 or 5 years or more, which became the kind of the UK's biggest community conference for Linux and open source and free software and all that kind of stuff. And then they finished with that 1 year. In 2008, I went along and I was an attendee, and they said they were not doing any more after that. So we got together with the Ubuntu UK podcast and some of the other people and decided that it was really important for the community, because there's a lot of kind of corporate events around and more sponsored kind of businessy events and stuff. But this is slightly different. This is it's a community event, and it's got a slightly different kind of atmosphere. I'm sure we've all been to many of the big corporate events, which are great. And of course, nothing against them at all. They have their place, but it's nice to be at something where everybody is kind of possibly a bit more relaxed, and it's more, you know, it's say less formal, and people come along and they want to get together. And often we find people who meet online regularly, but they don't have a chance to meet in person. And we've had people who've met after years of talking online, who've met in person for the first time at an OG camp because they live on different continents. So I suppose that's a big thing that people get out of it, is the sense of community and sharing and seeing friends that they only get to see sometimes once a year at the event. And just generally getting together and having a good time and sharing ideas as well. And we've had, one of the big things that we've had is we've had software projects and other things come out of the event that have been generated from it, open source projects, which I'm happy to tell you about. Do you want me to tell you about that now, or I don't want to go on too long without giving you a chance to get in with more questions. But yeah, I'll get into the schedule in a minute. But some of our schedule this year celebrates the fact that in the last 10 years from our first event, we've had a couple of open source projects, fairly significant ones, that have been generated by two people kind of meeting at an OG camp and going, oh, you know, we should work together. And then coming, you know, springing from that. So it's just a chance to meet people and get together, really, which is great.
Yeah, one of the things I find at these events, I mean, like I go to OSCON all the time and all these other events, like I'm going to be at All Things Open coming up in a few weeks. Is there the hallway track is amazing. You just start randomly chatting about things. And sometimes the randomly chatting about things leads to entire new projects.
Yeah, definitely. And this is like a hallway track is a great analogy. It's something that people often mention. On camp is almost all hallway track, if that makes sense. I mean, obviously, yeah. It's not literally, but that's the atmosphere, is that people are kind of getting together and coming up with ideas and all kinds of things. Podcasts have come out of it, all kinds of various things, which is great when we see people collaborating. So we've got a number of keynotes this year. Our opening keynote is from Andy Stanford Clark, who is he's from IBM, and he was one of the people who created the MQTT protocol. As I said, I'm going to get enough acronyms in here and technical bits for people so they don't feel like they're missing out this week. But MQTT is a messaging protocol that people use in embedded systems a lot, and things like IoT systems, like home automation stuff, things like that, where devices need to send a little message to each other, like your boiler needs to send a message to the thermometer, so the thermostat or back, or vice versa. And he came up with this thing called MQTT, which is the protocol that they use. It's everywhere now. It's massive. And and he came along to the first OG camp in 2009, gave a talk about MQTT, which was very new at the time. Somebody in the crowd at the time, another chap called Roger Light, he was interested in this. And then after the talk, they kind of got their heads together and chatted. And they created a project called Mosquito, which is an open source project, which is really popular with, I'm sure you're going to see the bit where I start to lose my understanding of this part of the project and stuff. But it's to do with home automation and smart home devices and communicating in an open source way with open source software. And that whole project was created from the fact that Roger was in the crowd at the first OG camp and saw Andy's talk, and then they got their heads together, which was great. And Andy's coming back, and so is Roger, and they're going to do, as our opening talk this year for the opening keynote, one of our scheduled talks, they're going to tell us about how that came about, the 10 years since that first OG camp when they first met, where the project is now, right. And how that's come about.
And Simon, how important was this to your role at Sun when you were trying to promote open source projects? Was this the kind of thing that you spent a lot of time promoting?
I worked on a lot of community events when I was at Sun. OgCamp didn't really get started until Sun had nearly finished. So
yes, of course.
I went along to OG Camp. The first time I went to OG Camp, I actually went along to go speak about Open Rights Group and the need to protect people's digital rights. So, but I was very comfortable with the concept because I'd been along to OG Camp. Sorry, I'd been along to Bar Camp. I went along to one of Tim O'Reilly's original Bar Camps. And the idea of an unconference was a very comfortable concept. So I think these sorts of events are really important to the free and open source software movement, because I think, as you were saying, one of the challenges of the big conferences is they tend to be dominated by corporate players.
And,
actually, all the best things come out of one-on-one interactions, almost out of the hallway track, as you were describing. So this is all hallway track. This is the hallway track where some of the hallway conversations have got big enough that you need to put them in conference rooms, rather than the other way around, like at other conferences, where the conference talks occasionally spawn a conversation in the hall. And for me, that's fundamental. That sort of grassroots getting things done is what has motivated me to be involved in OSI, in the Document Foundation, and in other projects. And so that was fundamental to me.
Well, because that's the key at these conferences. It's like it is the fact that people are on top talking to people. And it's an amazing event. It's an amazing event. I can't tell you the number of times. You know, I've been to OSCON, you know, pretty much every time, except a few years. And then I get to talk to people who are in the hallway. And it's like, that seems to be the key to this. It's where the real action happens. And we need to have that action happen.
Hmm.
Absolutely agree. And, you know, I at this conference, one of the great things we've got here is the whole thing is run by volunteers. We have a tremendous crew this year. We've got, I think there's a good six of the people attending are going to be members of the crew, as far as I can work out, Dan.
Sorry, go on.
We have a big dynamic crew of people who are all volunteers, are there to make everything go well for everybody. When you arrive at OGCamp, you get met at the door by volunteers who welcome you. There's volunteers around to help with things the whole time. And that sense of community, I think, is one of the strong features of OGCamp.
Yeah, I mean, cool. We actually have, I'm interrupting now, but we actually have 30 odd people signed up on the crew this year. We made an appeal for people to volunteer to help out. And we've closed the form now for people to volunteer, because we've got almost 30 people on the volunteer list, which is amazing. So that gives an idea of the way that, you know, the kind of community that are around this event and the great people who come along and help.
And you know, that's amazing. And actually, can you tell me like the size of the volunteer team? It must be huge.
Yeah, so there's the organizing team, which is there's about Simon's right. There's about seven or eight of us on the organizing team, which has changed over the years. That's the kind of the people who end up doing all the stuff. Like today, I've been trying to sort out booking things like hiring radios, crew radios, all the exciting things like that. But then beyond that, we have a crew lead. We have Les, who's our crew lead, Les Pounder, and he, the chief, as we call him, he leads the volunteers on the day, which is great. And we've got some, I think it's 28, 30 people this year on the crew. All help out with all kinds of things from, you know, as Simon says, greeting people at the door and registering them, to lifting boxes and moving stuff around. But the great thing about having more people than you need is that we don't want to wear people out. We appreciate that they give us their time and their help. And we want them to be able to say, you know, I'd like to go and see this talk now and maybe have an hour to do that. And if there's more people there, we can, many hands make light work, and we can cover the things, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, people don't understand how much work there is going on behind the scenes for any conference. I mean, it's like, at OSCON, I'm sure there's like 150, 200 people behind the scenes. But even a small conference like OGCamp has got to have like a bunch of people who are all producing stuff and all changing stuff around, making things happen. So it's a huge thing. And if you ever get an opportunity to volunteer for something like this, very important.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the good things is that I think people who've we often get the same people coming back year on year to volunteer, which is a good sign. I hope that we treat them well and they feel part of the team because they are the team and the backbone of the event, and they want to come back and do it again, which is great. And one of the big things is because it's an unconference and people can suggest talks. We've had a lot of people who've never spoken before never done a public talk before, come along and do a talk at Odd Camp where it's nice and friendly. It's informal, as I said. People are very kind of very relaxed and they get to build confidence and learn how to speak. And we've had some people who've gone on to be fantastic, like public speakers who do conference circuits now and, you know, speeches to big loads of people and stuff, big groups of people and thousands of people even at developer conferences who, when they first came along at Odd Camp, were not necessarily confident even in a room of 15 people in speaking. And it's great to see those kind of transformations in people and the building of the confidence. We've actually got this year, one of our organizing team, Lorna Mitchell, who's a great speaker herself, she's going to run some webinars for people who feel like they're not necessarily confident in speaking. And and I'll give you the more details on those in a minute. But in the meantime, speaking of support and so on, I do need to take a minute to thank one of our sponsors this week. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Command Line Heroes, the original podcast from Red Hat. Lisp was created in the 1950s to teach machines how to learn, but it would take more than 40 years before people started to see the full promise of AI. Command Line Heroes is back for its third season, and it's all about programming languages. From C to JavaScript to Ruby to Lisp, the podcast dives into the origin stories of some of the most prominent languages around. Episode 7 covers the history of AI, starting with its first language, Lisp. It was created to teach machines how to learn like humans. And at the start, there was a wave of interest and investment. But ultimately, the timing and hardware wasn't quite right for AI to work. Decades later, AI is now on the verge of changing everything. Command Line Heroes, an original podcast from Red Hat, is all about people who transform tech from the command line up. To listen and subscribe, head over to the podcast platform of your choice or visit redhat.com/heroes. That's redhat.com/heroes. There you'll find full episodes as well as bonus content, and you can even test your skills on the Command Line Bash arcade game. That's redhat.com/heroes. All right, then. And now I'm going to throw back to you, Randall.
Oh, hey. Okay, we've talked a little bit about the sort of the structure of Odd Camp, but let's talk about the types of topics. What would be covered at Odd Camp?
Lots of different things. So I liked Simon's description before of it being like a sandwich, which I haven't even thought of before. That was great. Thanks for that, Simon. I'll have to put that in the marketing spiel, a sandwich of all kinds of stuff. Yeah, so we've got, if you go to oddcamp.org, our website, which is, I seem to be struggling over saying there, but oddcamp.org is the website. There's a schedule page on there, oddcamp.org/schedule. And we've got some great stuff on there. So there's also, there's a speakers list. So I mentioned the IoT stuff, embedded stuff, MQTT. We've got Andy Stanford Clark from IBM and Roger Light, who are going to talk about Mosquito.
Sure.
We've also got, some stuff for beginners as well, because we get lots of highly technical talks, as you'd expect, but we'd like to keep it as open as possible and to let people, people who want to learn new things and maybe tell us about their experiences. So we've got a talk called Noobs on Oobs, which is Ubuntu, basically. It's a lady called Anna who's coming along to tell us about her journey from not knowing anything about Linux to using Ubuntu full time. And she does development stuff on Ubuntu and loves it. And encouraging people to learn about Linux and other systems. We've got some political talks as well. We've got things about video. video. So it was one called video, you have to excuse me for looking away from the camera here to look at the screen, but Video Killed My Data Plan is one of our talks. We've got a guy called Doug Sillers who does optimizing stuff for mobile, and he's going to talk about how to develop your sites and your web content with video in a way where you can deliver the video as without killing the data plan, essentially, as he says. So how to optimize video. So there's lots of technical stuff there as well. We've got stuff about the indie web movement, which is really taking off right now, this attempt to decentralize some of these big silos and things that we've got now, and, you know, make the web more like it was originally, more kind of democratic, if you like. We've got a project, this should be an interesting one, possibly, running an open source project with almost no community. Which is Jerome Batten's coming along. He runs, that's interesting. So he's going to tell us. He runs a thing called LibraPlan, which is it's a big open source project. It's used by, he says here, my biggest customer is an oil company with offices in 30 countries. LibraPlan is a web based project management application, but he's been trying to get people in, but I think basically it's what to do if you start an open source project and maybe it doesn't, people don't flock to it and to help out in the way that you thought, and how to get people aboard. So I think knowing him, the title's a bit misleading. He doesn't want no community. He's saying, how do you deal with getting a community, I think, and stuff like that. We got stuff, all kinds of stuff, like OpenStreetMap as well, which will be good. So as you can tell, the kind of the kind of thing that we try and push at OBCamp, of course, is the open source ethos and free software and all that kind of stuff, and the keeping things free and open source. And we don't have 100% kind of strict rule on that. If somebody comes along and wants to talk about something else, we're prepared to, you know, listen and stuff. But we try and push things like OpenStreetMap, which, if people don't know, is an alternative to, say, Google Maps or other things that are around, the many other mapping things that are out there. But it's crowdsourced, and suspect they've probably been on Floss Weekly at some point. If not, I'll sort that out.
Them probably have been on Floss Weekly, yes. And where's the name OBCamp come from?
Everybody asks that. It's not an acronym. People think it's an acronym for, OGG is an acronym for something. But basically what happened was initially when we came up with a list of about five or six names that it could be, OBCamp was on there, and I pitched the term OBCamp because we were trying to think of something that would mix not just the free software side of things and the open source side of things, but also, as Simon said, the free culture, because we've had a lot of free culture music and art and stuff involved as well, Creative Commons and stuff. So I chose OG because OG at the time was the prevalent open source audio and video format at the time.
Yes.
And then because it was a bar camp, essentially. It was just OG camp. But now OG isn't really very popular, and nobody uses OG anymore, I don't think.
So that's why I was asking. It's like, what the hell does that mean? Yes, exactly.
It does seem a bit antiquated in some ways now, but OG's still out there. I've still used it relatively recently. The codecs are still there. Simon's thankfully prompted me to mention the fact that we've got some sponsors. We always, one of the big things, even with a community event with so many great volunteers, is that obviously we have to hire a venue, we have to get other things together that do cost money. And we've had some great, over the years, we've had some brilliant sponsors who've helped us out with things like that. And this year is no exception. So I will quickly mention them just to make sure we've covered them. So we've got Entroware, which is a company who sell Linux, pre-installed Linux machines, computers pre-built, a bit like System 76 for you people in the States who will be familiar with System 76, maybe those kind of companies. Entroware sell in the UK and in Europe Linux computers, desktops, laptops, servers, which is great. We've got a little company called IBM. I don't know what they do.
We have no idea what they are.
They've just been bought by one of those Linux distro companies.
I think that might be the other way around, but we don't want to upset anyone with that one.
We'll see in a couple of years' time, won't we?
You may be right. So we've got them. We've got Ubuntu, the Ubuntu project. They're helping to support, and OpenSUSE as well. So we've got some various Linux distros in there, and Eight Circles, who are a UK software company as well. So now that I've done that, thank you very much to all of our sponsors, of course, for supporting us.
Yes.
But one of the big things this year is the kids track that we're trying to run as well. So we've had a lot of families come to our camp. We get a lot of families come along, which we encourage, which is great to see, you know, people coming along and bringing the kids and getting them involved as well. And we've got a kids track this year. So we've got about six different tracks. There's the main, I'm going to have to count them now. There's the main track, which is the scheduled track in the main room. There's three bar camp tracks. There's the exhibition room, yeah, that's right, and then there's the kids room as well. So we're going to have hopefully some people in there from Code Club and other things, where the kids can come along, and we're going to be doing robot building and all kinds of stuff, and maybe hopefully bring in the next generation into the open source way of doing things and spread that kind of ethos.
Yeah, and the Andromeda actually asks, what kind of kids events, what are you going to have?
Yeah, okay. So we've got, I'm trying to think, we've got a number of different workshops on. There's one using microbits to create a some kind of robot with wheels on it. You can tell that I'm not the one running the kids' events because I'm not as up. So I probably would struggle to complete some of the tasks at the kids' events that they breeze through. But yeah, it's making robots with things like microbits. We're going to have some Raspberry Pis as well, because you've got to have Raspberry Pis these days. Everybody has those in any kind of event. Arduino as well, which is another platform for making your IoT kind of embedded stuff. We've got some stuff to do with that as well. We've got Code Club involved. There's a UK group called Code Club, which is now part of the Raspberry Pi Foundation, and they run weekly clubs for kids to learn how to code, funnily enough. That's why they're called Code Club. And people run them all over the country, and we're going to get one of the Code Clubs to run in Og Camp for the day, which would be great. And the kids can come along and they learn things like Scratch, how to program with things like Scratch, and then maybe things like other languages, like Python. Sorry, yeah. Randall, I don't say you. I don't know if Pearl's on. It might be. Maybe you should get Perl on there for the kids course as well.
No, you know, Perl's too complex for kids, so that's okay.
Awesome. All right, so that's why you're not worried about the kids doing Python, because it's easy enough for them. I get where you're coming from. Yeah, so we've got afternoon, it became traditional for us to record a podcast at the show as well. And we're doing a panel discussion this year. We're doing a panel discussion on the Saturday, which I've just posted the details of, which is going to be on the Saturday afternoon. We've got a panel of, there's four people on the panel. So we've got Dr. Laura Cowan, who used to be on the Ubuntu podcast. She was one of the hosts there. She works for IBM. She's a doctor of psychology. So she'll probably be able to tell me all kinds of things I don't want to know about myself, but there we go. who knows? And she's also one of our speakers as well. She's developed a thing called an extension, a browser extension for Park Run, which is a thing that she does where people get together and run in parks, funnily enough, for fitness reasons, presumably. You can tell running's not something I do a lot of, unfortunately. Probably should do.
Me neither.
It's probably... But she's going to be on the panel along with Joshua Lau as well, who's the creator of EduBlocks, which is for teaching kids how to move from things like a lot of the visual programming things they get, like Node-RED or Scratch that I mentioned before. The kids they will draw, you know, blocks and then drop in, so like a block, which is an if statement, and then hook that up. And it's nice, and it teaches the principles of like logic and programming, but it doesn't help you to learn how to do that in text and code. So Josh is only school age himself. He's 15, and he's created this project, which has really taken off. He's doing great stuff, and he's far better developer than me, and far better than I'll ever be on any of that sort of stuff. So he's going to be there on the panel. We're going to have Caroline Keep, who was a former guest with me earlier in the year. We founded, she founded Liverpool Makefest, and then I came and joined in with that. We came on and talked about Liverpool Makefest. She's a UK, she was 2018 Teacher of the Year, TES Teacher of the Year. So she's got the educational side of things. She's also a physicist and a developer and a tinkerer and all those kind of things. And then for some reason, I'm on there as well on the panel. I've got a 200 meter bronze swimming certificate. and I used to be, you know, on Linux Outlaws and some other things, and I know a bit about music. But yeah, that's all. That's going to be on the Saturday. So we're actually asking people, leads me nicely into the fact that we've just launched today, in fact, we're crowdsourcing some questions. So we'll have, a way for you to give questions to the panel, you know, write them on cards and things during the weekend that we can use to pick out the best ones and discuss things. But also if you look at that and you think to yourself, oh, I wouldn't mind asking one of those people on the panel a certain question, you can go to ogcamp.org/panel. And there's a form on there where you can submit your question. And it'll come through to us, and it'll go into the big vat of questions that we're gonna do. So I encourage people to do that if they can. You know, if they're interested in generating some of the content, as you can tell, it's all feeding off the crowdsource theme. So we're gonna do that. Which will be good. And as I mentioned before, actually, which I should have said, we have in some webinars for people to teach them how to do talks as well, if they're interested in that, in learning how to do public speaking and stuff, which is a great part of the event. And Lorna, one of our organizers, is running those. And there will be dates on there will be information on the website, but they're going to be on Friday the 27th of September, which is next week, and October the 2nd as well. And I'll tweet out all the information about those. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. And then there's all the music. We've got live music coming up. We've got a band of Linux engineers, would you believe, who are called Dev Null and the Kernel Panics. So we've got Dev Null and the Kernel Panics are playing on Saturday night. They only play, you might like this, Randall, they only play songs that that were written before the Unix epoch timestamp.
Oh,
so
well, that's a while back.
Yeah, so it's before 1970, January the 1st, 1970. So they only played
basically... Yeah, January 1st, 1970, yes, exactly.
Yeah, so they're going to come along and play a lot of 60s tunes for us in their inimitable style. And I'll probably join in at some point and make some noise as well. So that should be fun.
Cool. That sounds amazing. So this conference has a huge variety of things going on, and you have a number of people helping produce it. Is that ever difficult to get people together to make that happen?
I would say no, but I'm slightly worried that I'm hogging everything too much. Simon, what do you reckon? Have you got any thoughts?
Well, so the conference has been going on for a long time. What Dan was too modest to say was that the conference really started as a fan club for his podcast, which is the Linux Outlaws podcast.
And, sure, right.
The audience and the volunteers have kind of ebbed and flowed with that heritage. And I would say that it was a little harder to get a good crew of volunteers and organizers together in the middle history there. But more recently, it's been getting easier again. One of the changes that the conference made about 3 years ago was to go to their attorney and say that they would like to incorporate. And their attorney said to them, that's a crazy thing to do. That's like giving yourself an extra job to do in your spare time. Why don't you go and get hosted by a handy organization that will look after your finances and your tax affairs and your fiduciary responsibilities for you?
Yeah.
And they, the attorney recommended that they come and get hosted by the nonprofit that I run called Public Software. And so OGCamp is actually hosted within Public Software CIC, which is the nonprofit that I run. And as a result of that, I end up getting to be on the organizing team as the honorary treasurer. So one of the great ways to improve the number of volunteers here is to go and hook in nonprofit organizations to come and support you. Rather than trying to organize it all yourself and do it all yourself, you'll discover that there's other organizations out there that will help you with things. What OGCamp did was then find somebody who'd look after the money, find someone who'd do all the unpleasant jobs like paying the bills and negotiating with the sponsors. And the result of that is people like Dan and Les are now set free from all this administration. The result has been this year, we've got like 8 or 10 organizers. We've got nearly 30 crew And it's become really easy to get people to join in. So I'd recommend everybody come to Public Software and get hosted. and that will use up all of my spare time and I won't be able to do podcasts anymore.
Yeah. And you know what? The best part about like these unconferences is that you can present something in 45 minutes or so and get your feet wet as it is to be able to say, I've talked in front of people. And I tell you, as someone who's professional, speaker, been to many, many conferences, many, many things. It's nice to be able to sort of get your feet wet and actually sort of engage with people. So I appreciate that there's conferences like this that allow you to do that.
Yeah, that's one of the big things that I think, as I was saying, a lot of people get out of that is the chance to come along and talk for the first time. And I should just say a big thank you to Public Software, by the way. I wanted Simon to do the explanation of what Public Software is. I didn't want to mess it up. But we do appreciate their hosting of us, legally, I suppose, which is very, very cool.
Absolutely. And I haven't been to OddCamp yet, but I am hoping to put it on my schedule. It's too close in once again, too close in for me to actually come. But maybe next year, I will be able to.
We'll
do this.
Get you one. We'll get you one day, Randall. We'll find a
I
way.
Know.
We'll get you somehow. If people do want to come, very quickly. I know I've mentioned it a few times, but I'm going to keep mentioning it. Go on, sorry.
What are the dates and where's the location?
So it is in Manchester in the UK, which is in the northwest, nice and easy to get to. It's the 19th and 20th of October, so just over a month away. Although there's an opening party on the 18th, which is a Friday. So a month from today, we'll have the event will kick off basically on the Friday night. It's at a place called the Pendulum Hotel in Manchester. You can go to ogcamp.org and all the venue information's on there if you want to book a room. There are still a few rooms left at the hotel. I was even managed to book one yesterday, so I can confirm that there are still a few left, but they're going very quickly, as are the tickets. And as Simon said, it's done on a kind of pay what you want on a donation basis, the tickets thing. So if you go to ogcamp.org/tickets, you'll find a form on there. The suggested donation is £15, but if you for any reason can't afford to pay that, we want everyone to be able to get in and not be unable to attend for that kind of reason. So you can change the amount in the box. You can fill it in on there, get yourself some tickets and come along. There's about, at the moment, there's only about 65 tickets left of the initial 300 that we issued. So I would suggest if people are interested and they hear this and they think I'd like to go to that, don't delay. Go over there and go to oddcamp.org/tickets today and get yourself one.
And Eric Duckman, of course, in our chat room says, how are you involved with blockchain?
There may well be some talks on blockchain, actually, I suspect. So don't worry, Eric. We've got a blockchain solution somewhere. I think people are going to talk about – there's bound to be at least one talk about blockchain.
Okay, cool. And I have to ask, because you are both guests this time, text editor and favorite scripting language. So Dan, text editor, favorite scripting language.
Yeah, sure. This is nice. It's not something I usually get to answer because I'm not usually a guest, obviously. I was thinking about this today and what I was going to answer. So unfortunately, Randall, I'd probably say Vim is my favorite text editor, but I don't know how you feel about this, but I've realized recently that the thing I use most is probably Nano because I'm not doing a lot of development these days. I'm usually, fixing up config files and stuff. There's nothing better for me personally than Nano, which is another one of the GNU editors that I can just, quickly open something and bash through that. And I do love Nano. Yeah. And as far as graphical editors go, I end up using things like Gedit most, which is just the default GNOME desktop one.
And a programming language? Or do we get that?
Yeah, no, sorry, I didn't say. I'm actually going to say Bash probably is the thing I use more than anything else these days. It's not exactly a programming language as such, but you can do a lot with it. And I avoided saying Python there, so I was trying to be nice. There you go. Yeah. I actually would say Bash probably is my most used tool.
Okay, fine. And again, we're almost out of time, and apparently Simon has lost us somehow. So let's talk about who's coming up, which is that we have GNOME coming up next week. I believe that's pronounced GNOME because it has a G in front of there, and they always like G things. It's an elegant and easy way to use your computer. GNOME is designed to put you in control and get things done. Just added to the schedule, David Wheeler is coming back for a fifth time. A fifth time. I believe that's a new record for people coming back. He's going to be talking to us about the best practices badge that he talked to us about 3 years ago. But he's going to be coming back about talking about that. We also have just added to the schedule Camellio, which is the successor of the Open SER and SER, which is an open source SIP server. So that's about being able to communicate over IP traffic, which would be fun. Be able to handle thousands of calls set up per second. Camellio can be used to be able large platforms for VoIP and real-time communications. That'll be fun. Again, I am still looking for more guests. So if you have anybody you want on this show, please have the project leader or community coordinator contact me, merlin@stonehenge.com. My address is on the homepage for this show, which is twitch.tv/floss, and I will be very happy to talk to them to get them on a schedule. We have a live stream at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays at live.twitch.tv. You can follow us at Floss Weekly on Twitter. You can follow me at Merlin on Twitter. I'll be at All Things Open in about 3 weeks in Raleigh, North Carolina, in mid-October. So, and you can go to that page for All Things Open. And if you type in Floss Weekly, all lowercase, you will be getting the best possible discount for that. I'm in Portland now. I was going to say we picked out a Hutch as the guy who figured out, or the person who figured out. I have no idea if it was a guy or not. Who moved the magnet? Yeah, so we figured that out. Anything you want to plug there, Dan or Simon?
Yeah, I think Simon's back. I don't know if he can hear us yet. But I would just remind people to come along to Og Camp, as I said. You can follow on Twitter as well. Just look up or Google Og Camp. At Og Camp is the address. Come along, and if you want to ask anything about the event, please just ping me a message, and I'm happy to help.
Absolutely. And Simon, anything you want to plug?
I strongly recommend that everyone listening comes to this upcoming event called Og Camp. And goes to ogcamp.org/tickets and buys 3 or 4 tickets. And I recommend that you put in a price of maybe $50 or $100 per ticket for each of them. And you would be very welcome to come along to the conference. Apart from that, there's really nothing on my mind apart from I'm still going to OSI board meetings. I'm still trying to get console running. And you didn't ask me what my favorite text editor was, Randall. So I'm here to tell you.
Oh, but you were off. You were offline.
Yeah, I was waiting. So my favorite text editor is LibreOffice. And okay. I recommend that people who haven't tried it for a while give it a try, because it's changed dramatically ever since the Document Foundation got it, which was nearly 10 years ago. Can you believe that? It's nearly 10 years
ago. Wow. It's a long time. That's a long time ago. Very good. Very good. Well, guys, thank you once again for joining me for this particular show. And again, I can't make Og Camp this year, but I'm putting it on my schedule for next year. So we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. As it is, I'm a little tired, so I'm going to go back to bed, and we'll just call this the end of a day. And my voice is slowly getting better, but not completely all the way there yet, but we'll figure it out. Eventually, my voice will be back to normal. So thank you both for being on my show again today. And we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.